everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 63, and what we're going to talk about today is 9 tips to retirement investing. And so I haven't done a financial show here in a while, and so hopefully this will be able to be a good show for you. And as we talk about some of the principles that I have learned about retirement investing, and some of them apply to all kinds of investments, but particularly retirement investing. And you'll want to make sure that you download the wealth building plan that I have under the free resources on the website. And that will give you I may have it under, I'll have to double check, but I'll have a link in the show notes regardless for it. And that will help kind of show you where we're going on some of this and give you a resource to look at while we do that. So should be a good show. Before we look at that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, I want to take care of our affiliate focus. Our affiliate focus for today is 48 days. Let me tell you why I like 48 days. 48 days is Dan Miller's organization, and Dan Miller is a career coach, and he has all kinds of resources available at 48 days to help you get the job that you love or to start the business that you want to start. Back about 10 years ago or so now, I read some of his material, and it's what motivated me and gave me the encouragement that I needed to step out and be an entrepreneur. It was while I was in transition between different ministry positions, and I knew I wanted to be able to be self-supporting in a way with my next ministry, and so I ventured off and started my own business. And part of the way in which I did that and worked through some of the program there was as a result of the work that Dan Miller has over at 48 Days. So he's got a lot of resources over there. If you're looking at getting the best kind of job that you want to get, I recommend the resource 48 Days to the Work You Love. And if you're interested in starting your own business, he's got a couple books there, one of which by the name of 48 Days to Creative Income, and then No More Mondays. Both of those are great books. Resources over there you want to pick up, and he's a Christian and has a good perspective on entrepreneurship. And so he is the 48 Days is the affiliate focus for today. Now, to the issues of the website, I want to make sure that you are registered as a user there. That will enable you to make comments. It will also enable you to get all the information as it happens at the website, and you can follow all the updates as they happen. And so be sure you're registered. You can do that on the right column of the website. And then make sure you're downloading us on iTunes. I'd like to move up in the iTunes ratings. Right now we're pretty low. It's hard to find us on there. And some of that is a result of people listening through the website but not downloading through iTunes. So if you have iTunes available, subscribe. And that will enable you to get the downloads. And when you subscribe, it moves us up on higher up on the ratings. So I encourage you to do that. Of course, if you leave feedback or any kind of notes to the various podcasts or to the show itself, that's a great way also to encourage the show, and I appreciate that. Speaking of feedback, best way to give me feedback is steve@thelegacypodcast.com. You can also leave different feedback at the show notes, and I appreciate you doing that. All the feedback that I receive, I take very careful consideration of, and so I appreciate you dialoguing with me in that way. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the various social media out there, sharing us with your friends and neighbors, family, that kind of thing, so we continue to grow the audience and letting them know what is available out there if you like the show. Also, if you like the show, I ask that you consider being a Legacy Partner. A Legacy Partner is a $30 a year commitment. It enables you to have access to our premium page, which premium members page has on it over $50 worth of value. I just added another vendor, and I'm excited about this. Southern Exposure Seed Exchange has offered to give the premium listeners of the Legacy Podcast a 20% discount on their first purchase. So make sure that if you're purchasing seeds for this fall, that you go through Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. They're a great resource because they focus on heirloom vegetable seeds. And they're centrally located here in Virginia. And many of the seeds that they focus on are good for the Mid-Atlantic region. If you're outside that region, they've got plenty of other seeds as well, but the focus particularly on Mid-Atlantic region. So if you want to buy seeds this fall for your fall garden and you are looking to buy heirloom seeds, consider becoming a Legacy Partner and then using the 20% discount to buy those seeds. And that way you help support the show at 25 cents or less per episode. Plus, you're able to get all the advantages of being a legacy partner. So that takes care of the intro segment. Now let's go ahead and talk about 9 different principles or 9 tips to retirement investing. And some of these, as I mentioned earlier, pertain to all kinds of investing. Others of them pertain only to retirement investing. And before we actually get started, because I still am licensed somewhat in financial services industry, particularly with investments, I have to be very careful. I am not advocating any particular kind of investment. I'm not recommending to you that you invest in any particular asset class or that you purchase any kind of product. I am only trying to give out some information and some tips about educational material and ways to approach retirement. I'm not asking for a fee for this or anything like that, and hopefully that takes care of some of the regulators that would want to try to get on my case for doing this. So anyway, number one, when it comes to retirement principles, is if you have an old 401k or a 457 or a 403b, any of the retirement programs that you would have through work, and you have subsequently left that job and moved on to something else or some other kind of self-employment or whatever it might be, and those funds are still left at the former employer. I know that they're still your funds, but they may still be held by the former custodian of those, of that 401k or whatever it might be. The best thing you can do with that is roll it over into a traditional IRA. And by rolling it over, what I mean is what's called a direct rollover. A direct rollover, you can fill out the paperwork with any kind of investment company out there, and I'll have in the show notes a link to a company that I recommend that you go through for most of your investing. But anyway, you want to roll it over into a traditional IRA and a direct rollover, and you have 60 days from the time that you pull the money out to put it back into a traditional IRA, or you will be taxed and penalized. You'll have a 10% penalty, plus you'll have to pay taxes on the entire amount for that year. And so you want to make sure that you follow the appropriate directions for doing that. And the best way to do that is just do institution to institution direct rollover. But the reason why you want to do a rollover of your former account's money is because you have a lot more options with a traditional IRA than you do in a 401k. Most 401k plans, particularly if you know you're no longer employed there, they may have 6 to 8 different mutual funds that you can choose from, something like that, and the diversity is not sufficient. And when you go into the into the general market, you can find that there's over 10,000 different mutual funds. There's lots of different strategies that can be used with various mutual funds or any kind of ETFs or exchange-traded funds as ETFs. Any kind of program like that, you can have a lot more diversity, a lot more opportunity when it's not stuck in an old 401k. So you want to make sure you roll that over, and you want to make sure you do that within 60 days, not within 60 days of retirement, or not 60 days within leaving the job, but 60 days from the time that you pull the money out to the time that you put it into a traditional IRA is all that you have. So again, the best way to do that is a direct rollover institution from institution. And again, if you need help with this, you can look at the show notes and access the resources that are there. Number two is you want to max the match. Now, what I mean by that is I'm referring to a 401k at your company or a 403b at your place of employment, something like that where your company actually matches part of the money that you put in. The way that it normally works, let's say, is that they will do a 50% match up to 5%. So if you put in 5% of your income, then they will also put in 2.5%, which is 50% of the 5%. And that way you're putting in 7.5%, but it's not all yours. Only 5% of it is yours. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that's a 50% return without you doing anything. So you could put it into, you know, just a money market account was not making any kind of interest that you'd get a 50% return on. That's incredible. You can't do that anywhere in the market. And so when you max a match, that is, you know, if they're offering to match it up to 5%, then you want to put in 5% and make sure that you're taking advantage of their max. You know, it's amazing to me how many people have a 401k available to them at work or a 403b available to them at work, and their companies match part of their contributions, and yet they're not contributing any money. And I know part of that is because they're in debt and they're unable to find the necessary funds to do that. But if you're in that situation, you are losing out on a significant amount of income that is, you know, voluntarily given by your employer. And so you want to make sure you max the match. That's kind of hard to say, but max the match. The third thing I want to consider is that if you have the option, you want to use a Roth IRA for some of your retirement. Now, what is a Roth IRA? If you're not familiar with that terminology, I talked about that in an earlier episode where I talked about the 15 financial terms that everyone should know. I talked about the Roth IRA in there and what the significance is of the Roth. But let me just summarize again for those of you who didn't hear that episode. A Roth IRA is different than a traditional IRA or a 401k or a 403b in how they work. All of those work in what's called a tax-deferred manner. In other words, you put money in to that account. The money that you put in, let's say you put $5,000 into that account, the $5,000 that you put in for that year is deducted from your income. So you're not having to pay taxes on that $5,000. When you put the money in, all the money that grows from that $5,000 and any other contributions that you have grows tax deferred. So you don't pay any taxes on it during the year that you're using it. But then when you begin to take the money out, you then are taxed on that money. And so that's where the idea of tax deferred comes in. The way that a Roth IRA works is that you don't get any tax advantage up front. So if you put $5,000 in there, you're having to pay taxes on that entire $5,000 that you earned in your income, something like that. But then all the money in there grows tax-free, and you can take it out at 59.5 and pay no penalties, no taxes, or anything on there. So it's really a great program to put your money into because of the tax-free. Now, we don't know what Congress or the executive branch or anything will do in the future. But right now, the Roth IRA is hard to beat when it comes to an investment program. And you'll have to talk to an accountant or your tax preparer or something like that to find out how much you can put in each year. Right now, for most people, it's $5,000, but that changes each year, or mostly it changes each year. And if you're over a certain age, you can have catch-up provisions, which allows you to put in even more than that. And so a Roth IRA is a great place for you to put some of your money for retirement. Now, the disadvantage of a Roth is that, like with all other qualified accounts or retirement programs, the money is in there strictly for retirement. And so you have to wait until you're 59.5 to be able to access that. Now, with a Roth, there is some advantage in that you can access the money that you put in because you've already paid taxes on that. So you can access the money that you've already put in for various reasons. So for purchasing a house, medical reasons, something like that, without paying any penalty on it. But of course, then it's not, you're not getting the exponential growth from that. So that's the Roth IRA, and you want to use that if at all possible. Number four is don't forget about a spousal IRA. Some of you that may be listening, hopefully most of you that are listening, are in a one-income family, meaning the husband is working outside the home to earn a living. The wife may be, you know, working a lot inside the home, but not necessarily bringing in any kind of income. And so the question is raised, can she put any kind of money away for retirement? Well, yes, she can. Of course, it has to come from his check, but it's called the spousal IRA. And if the husband is working, you can put just as much in from the spouse as, the husband puts into his. And so you can put $5,000 each into there, or $4,000 each, or $3,000 each, or whatever it might be. or 5,000 in one and 1,000 in the other. However you want to divvy it up, as long as the the spousal IRA does not exceed the max that can be done, or actually either one can not exceed the max, then you can actually set up a spousal IRA. So you don't want to forget about that as well. So what that means is in most instances, if you are a husband and wife couple, you can end up putting away $10,000 a year for retirement, $5,000 his and $5,000 into hers, which is a great way to get ahead. And that's certainly in the right direction when you do that. So don't forget about the spousal IRA. Number five is use actively managed money. Now, I've referred to this before, but let me explain what I mean by that. Actively managed money is usually through an investment advisor who is a 65 licensed financial advisor who is able to buy and sell in your behalf. And that differs from like a mutual fund broker or a stock broker even, although a stock broker typically has this license as well. But typically, they differ in that these brokers, they will primarily sell you a product and expect you to stay in that product. So you've probably heard before, you want to get a balanced portfolio of, in fact, Dave Ramsey teaches this. Dave Ramsey teaches that you should have aggressive growth in income, and international mutual funds. Put 25% in each of those and hold those indefinitely. And that's the advice that most will give when it comes to investments. The problem with that is that in 2008, all of those classes, whether it be aggressive growth, international, growth in income, growth, whatever it was, all of those lost significant amounts of money in 2008. Had you been, or some of you probably were, with an investment advisor who was able to have actively managed money in your portfolio, he or she was able to then move that money out of the general market and put it into an alternative investment or into cash or something like that prior to that fall, and minimize many of the losses that came to so many people's accounts. And that's what it means to have actively managed accounts or actively managed money. Sometimes that's confused with a mutual fund who has an active manager who's buying and selling within the mutual fund, but they're just buying and selling that class of equity. So, for example, if it's a small cap mutual fund, they're only buying small companies within that mutual fund. They're not going outside of the parameters that are given there. And so an actively managed account is able to buy and sell through different classes and asset classes at different times. And you get into various programs and they may be buying and selling every day from certain portfolio percentages and certain mutual funds or ETFs or alternative investments or sometimes even stocks and that kind of thing. And so, again, I'm not advising any kind of particular strategy, or I'm not advising any type of particular mutual fund or ETF or anything like that. I'm just stating what is available out there and that kind of thing. So you want to make sure you talk to a licensed financial professional. Let me back up just for a moment. I don't think there should be licenses. I don't think that the government should be involved in any kind of situation like that. I think that if you are contracting with somebody to help you with money, then you should be able to contract with whomever you want, and the government shouldn't have a say in it. However, we live in a world in which the government regulates everything, and the financial industry is one of those areas that is highly, highly regulated. It's one of the worst things about it. And so somebody who is appropriately licensed is somebody who is going to be able to help you with an actively managed account. And again, I'll have a link in the show notes. And then the sixth principle or the sixth tip is to figure out how much you might need for retirement. Some people call this a financial independence number, a FIN number. And, you know, you might have heard on television or watched on television or something where they have, I think it's ING. And again, I'm not advocating any particular company or any particular investment here, but they will have on there the, ING, or, what's your number? They'll have this whole propaganda event and advertisement trying to get you to know what your number is. And, of course, they're trying to get you to invest with them, and they will tell you what that number is. And so it is important to find out how much you need to have put away so that you will know when you can retire. I mean, obviously, if you know you knew you had enough tomorrow to retire, you might be more willing to do it. And so what is that number? What does that come out to be? Well, the best way that I have found, now you can use all kinds of financial calculators to figure out all this and figure out percentages, and there's ones online where you can go on there and you can figure out exactly how much you need to put away to be able to retire at a certain amount of money and draw a certain amount off, count taxes and inflation, all this kind of stuff. There's very specific calculators you can use for that. But the best way that I know of generally to figure this out is you want about 20 times your income in today's dollars. If markets were good, you could say 15% or 15 times, but better look at 20 times your current income and or whatever income you want, and that will tell you how much you might need to have as your independence number, the amount in there. So let's look at this on a scenario. Let's suppose that you want to be able to have $50,000 in today's dollars every year in retirement. Well, that would mean that you would need to have a $1 million invested. That's 20 times 50,000. And by doing it that way, you are then able to draw off the interest or the gains at 5%. And then any additional gain, which you would hopefully get enough gain to cover the cost of inflation and anything else that might come along with that investment. And so by having 20 times the amount put away, that gives you a pretty good general picture, general idea of how much you need to have. So figure out what it is that you need and then multiply that by 20 times, and that will tell you how much you should have. Now, obviously, if you're early in your 20s or 30s or something like that, you're not going to have achieved this yet unless the Lord has certainly blessed you through a business or something like that. But most of the time, it takes 30, 40 years of working to be able to acquire enough assets. And even then, sometimes people don't, to acquire enough assets to be able to get to that point. And so another thing that you can use to kind of figure out whether you're on track or not, and of course you can use the calculators again to figure out how much you need to be putting away to arrive at all this, but the best way that I know how is to backtrack where you want to be and then back that out. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's suppose, again, you want $1 million at 65 years of age in today's dollars, okay? That means that you want to be able to, and what you do with this is I just half-life it. And that usually gives you a pretty good picture. That's a 7% rate of return. That leaves enough for inflation and continued contributions that you're putting in during the contribution phase. Now, of course, this doesn't work if you're at the drawdown phase, but so let's suppose you want $1 million at 65 as your nest egg, your retirement amount. That would mean at 55 you should have $500,000 invested. At 45 you should have $250,000 invested. At 35 you should have $125,000 invested, and at age 25 you should have $75,000 invested. Now, when I say that, most people are saying, 25, 75,000 invest, are you kidding? I just got out of college, I owe $75,000 to Sallie Mae, and there's no way that I could possibly have accumulated $75,000 at age 25. Well, actually, there has been people who have done that, and you know who they are? They're the people now who are wealthy, because they were able to acquire that amount and set that aside. And so if you don't follow that, then you know you're under track, and you've got to be able to contribute more in order to get to that point, or you take it out. So let's say you want to retire at 75. Well, then that would need, you need to have that at 35, not at 25. And so you can walk it out to another decade or something like that if you want, or you can look at it this way. But that kind of gives you a good idea. 20 times whatever income on a year you need is how much you need to have invested. And then you walk out from whatever age you want, half-lifed, the amount, and that will give you an idea as to whether or not you're on track to be able to achieve that. So that's the financial independent number. The seventh principle or the seventh tip I want to give you about investing for retirement is to buy assets that people use. Now, what I mean by that, I learned this a long time ago. This is prior to me actually getting licensed into the industry. I learned from Larry Burkett a long time ago to buy utility. And what he meant by that was to buy assets that sell things or that are involved in activities that people do on a regular basis. So what does that mean? It means things that we use all the time. We use energy all the time. We use toilet paper. We use toothpaste. We use clothing. You know, all of these different items are things that we use every day and, you know, we need every day. And so when we invest in companies that provide those, then we are investing in companies that will stand the test of time. They will be able to endure hard times and be able to take part in the good times because they are an all-season, or as we might say, an all-weather investment. Now, that's a pretty conservative thing. Obviously, you're investing in something that provides toothpaste. We're not going to have some, you know, stellar scientific, brush your teeth one time with this toothpaste and it's going to be a miraculous cure. And so everybody goes and buys, you know, millions of dollars worth of this toothpaste. That's not going to happen. It's something that is just over time, continues to grow and expand its market. And so it's going to be a gradually growing business for the most part is kind of a conservative approach with that. Now, along with that concept is the whole idea of not purchasing anything or not investing in anything that you don't understand. There are a lot of financial experts, so-called, in the financial industry world who will want to try to sell you the most, the newest, latest model of annuity. And, of course, there's huge commissions on that, but they'll want to sell you the bells and whistles to this program or something like that. And they'll talk it up great. And the challenge with that is that if you don't understand it, then chances are it's not a good investment, or your investment advisor is not very good at teaching you it, because you should know where your money is and why you've placed it there. And so don't be fooled. Don't let the financial counselors, financial advisors, mutual fund sellers, brokers, financial planners, whatever they want to call themselves, persuade you to get involved in something that you don't understand. Make sure you understand it fully, thick and thin, inside and out, before you give them 1 cent of your hard-earned money. So make sure that you buy assets that people use and don't invest into anything that you don't understand. Number eight, then, is don't forget your own business. You know, I talked about various asset classes that you could invest in, various strategies, all these kinds of things. But the very biggest and most important investment that you can make is in yourself and in your own business. Let's just put this into perspective. Let's suppose that you build a landscaping business, to where that landscaping business, now you've got, you know, a crew of people going out each summer, working lawns, doing landscaping, all the things that landscaping companies do, and they are bringing in a $20,000 profit. So you're able to, you know, not be out there sweating and, you know, not laboring around the books, but you've got people in place that are able to do that, and now you are able to reap a profit from that business of $20,000 a year. Well, that would mean that you would have to have the equivalent of $400,000 invested to be able to draw off $20,000 a year. So that kind of shows you the importance of building your own business. If you were able to build your own business, you are able to develop a kind of passive income that is comparable to an investment income in other people's businesses, which is really what you're doing when you're investing. You're able to do it in a whole lot shorter time, and you're able to have more control over it. So don't forget to build your own business. When you build your own business, you're able to accelerate your retirement, or you're able to increase the standard of living at your retirement. So if you haven't started your business yet, what are you waiting for? Make sure that you pick up some books from 48 Days and start working through some ways of starting your own business and creating. You know, you don't have to, go into debt for any of this. In fact, I would say don't go into debt for any business that you start. Start in your basement. You know, Facebook and Microsoft and Dell Computer and Apple Computer, all of these were started with bare bones budgets in someone's garage or dorm room or something like that. And there's no reason why you can't begin a business today that in 15, 20 years is bringing in a passive income of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $500,000 a year. And you think about the value that is associated with that. And so that, don't forget to open your own business, start your own business, develop a passive stream of income through your own business. What a great way to retire. And you can do that at just about any age once you've got it built. Then number 9 is reconsider the definition of retirement. If you talk to most financial planners, you talk to most financial advisors, they will tell you that, you know, retirement is, you know, 65 or 62 or whatever it might be. And the idea is that you are then going to be able to spend summers in Florida at your beach house, or you're able to, do the traveling around the world, or the cruises, or whatever it is that you want to do. And that concept of retirement is really not the concept that the Bible speaks about when it talks about retirement or financial wealth or anything like that. In fact, what you find in the scriptures is that there is no retirement. You are to continue to work, to continue to serve, to continue to use the resources that God has given to you for building up His kingdom until you take your last breath. And so when I say reconsider the definition of retirement, Wall Street and financial planners have one idea of retirement, but the Bible has another idea of retirement. And it may be that you are to continue to work and to serve for money or not for money your entire life. Now, it is nice if we can get to a position where we no longer have to work for money. We can use our time and the resources that we have and volunteer for a lot of things because we don't have to be compensated for it. And, of course, that's the ideal, is being able to continue to serve and to continue to provide advice and expertise because of the years that you have been serving, but not have to be compensated for it. And what a great blessing that is to the church. What a great blessing that is to the kingdom. But the idea of not having to work ever again and to just lay around on the beach or, you know, go on the cruise or whatever it might be that we have as a picture of retirement, that's a picture that is contrary to the scriptures. And so when we talk about investing for retirement, make sure that you include in there the appropriate definition of retirement. What good is it for us if we acquire all of this wealth and invest money wisely to the point where we are able to really have a substantial amount of wealth, and then we retire and all we do is play? Well, that's no life. What kind of legacy are we leaving at that point? Sure, we've accumulated a great deal of money that we can pass on, and there's a financial legacy that is there. But there's more to leaving a legacy than acquiring or amassing money. What better can we do with that money by investing it in the lives of other people, investing it into the kingdom, investing it into things that will be able to produce even more for the glory of God? That's the kind of legacy that we want to leave. Now, a lot of times leaving a legacy like that requires resources, and so it's important for us to be able to put away. And so that's why we talk about investing for retirement. But we want to make sure that we have the appropriate definition and understanding of retirement. So reconsider what your definition is if you've bought into the concept that the world has of retirement. Well, that takes care of the 9 steps that I have, or the 9 principles, the 9 tips towards retirement. Hopefully it's been helpful for you, maybe giving you some ideas to think about. If you have questions, feel free to write me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. Be sure to go to the show notes and download the wealth building triangle, the 10 steps to wealth building that I will have on there, as well as visiting show note links. And be sure that you check out the affiliate sponsors. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
Just one life.